Psalm 37. Look in verse 36. Excuse me, verse 37, I'm sorry. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the salvation of the righteous. The salvation of the righteous. I love that word salvation. It encompasses everything that God has done for His people. The whole life, from start to finish, of a believer is a life of salvation. It's a life of salvation. He is saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace was given them in the Lord Jesus Christ before the world ever began. But they're saved in the Lord Jesus from all whom all blessings flow. All blessings are given to us in heavenly places through our Lord Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings. And I tell you something else about God's people. They're always being saved. Always being saved. The moment of His election, being chosen in Christ before the world began, to His being crossed by the gospel, God crossing His path with the gospel, and being begotten by the gospel, He's always being saved from that moment. Always being saved. He believes the Lord Jesus Christ until He closes His eyes in death, and all His whole life all around Him, God is saving Him and saving Him and saving Him. His whole life is a life of salvation. God's working salvation in Him. God's working salvation for Him. And God is working salvation by Him. And what a blessed word is that word salvation. I read it to you this morning. For by grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. To be saved. Saved. Not a one-time experience. It's a lifetime experience. It's a lifetime of experience until we leave this world. And we love and rejoice in that word salvation. It means salvation from the penalty of sin. Christ bore the penalty of our sin, which was death. He bore the punishment of our sin. God can't punish me now. Because Christ has done bore my punishment, endured my punishment. And we're saved also from the power of sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. And then we're also, not only that, but we're saved from the love of sin. And one of that's why the old hymn writer said, from sin be the double cure. Save me from the power, save me from the love of sin. And I do know this, one of these days we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. And what a day that'll be. What a day that will be. To most people, salvation is just an insurance policy. You cash it in at the pearly gates. Shirley and I watched this documentary about a man. And when he died with both fingers. They kept him, they found him, he had both fingers on both hands crossed. And he sent me, somebody asked him if he's going to get in the pearly gates. He said, yeah. I said, oh yes, of course. He said, I got all these bad things over here. But then I got all this good over here, and the good's going to outweigh the bad. But he died with both fingers crossed. That's a, you reckon it hefty? Huh? But that's what most people have. They've got a no-soul salvation. They've got a salvation that happened at one time. And they have to be assured all the time that they're okay. Have to be told over and over again that you've done enough to get you there. But to the believer, salvation is his whole life. Is his whole life. And let me give you a few things about it. The very heart and soul of sound doctrine is this. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. That's what we're talking. We're talking about salvation of the Lord. You know, people, I've run across a lot of men in my lifetime, and they say, yes, we ought to preach grace. Well, we need to preach grace. We need to preach salvation by grace. But they think that if they preach it too much, that, you know, people will misunderstand them. So they have to bring man in just a little bit. And you know, religion is selfish. Religion is selfish. It's all about man and what man wants and what man accomplishes and what man can do and how man can do something. But beloved, it's not for the glory of God. Oh, they say, and another person said, well, they'll give people a license to sin. You may need a license to drive, a license to practice medicine, a license to be a nurse, a license to special ones to drive a truck, but I ain't never met anybody need a license to sin. Have you? Do you need a license to do that? No. They've all given them a license to sin. People are going to do it anyway. What we're telling them is who put away their sin and how it was put away. And oh my, they're afraid they'll be misunderstood and people get the impression that salvation is not for everyone. I got news for you. It's not for everybody. It's not for everyone. You know who it's for? For the needy? For sinners? For people that ain't got nothing? And they ain't gonna never have nothing? Oh, listen. It's only for the needy, for those who want Christ, those who need Christ. Paul said, I'm poor. David said, I'm poor. And this is the king sitting on his throne. And not only am I poor, but I'm needy. And that's what he says. The scripture tells us that everyone that heard of him, they followed him, and he healed all them that had need of healing. That's people's problem. They ain't got a need. And the only place you're going to get a need is get it from the Lord Jesus. And Paul said this, if we fear men, we won't be the servants of Christ. You cannot please men and Christ at the same time. You can't give God all the glory and try to bring men in just a hair's breadth. It can't be done. And I tell you, salvation's of the Lord from start to finish. Oh, Jonah 2:9, it says this. Jonah learned this when he was in the belly of that whale. He said, this I know, that salvation is of the Lord. If I'm saved from this place where I'm at, it's got to be God that has to do it. If I get on dry ground again, it's going to be God has to do it. If I ever see the sunshine again, God's going to have to do it. Oh, my. And that's why he said all things work together for good to them that love God, that's called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, them He also called. Them He also justified. Them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Huh? And that means from the day we was born to the day we leave this world, God's got His hand on us. And then one day when His purpose was fulfilled, He crossed our path with the gospel. Huh? It's of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord in His purpose. In His purpose. You know, God had a covenant, and it was between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, before this world was ever formed. Huh? Listen to me now. I'm telling you, Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ was brought again from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And I'm telling you something, beloved. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God gave Him a people. He said, all that the Father gives me, I give eternal life to as many as the Father has given me. Oh, why don't you tell us if you're the Christ? Tell us plainly. He said, you know why you don't believe? Because you're not my sheep. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. God had a purpose and He had a covenant. And Christ promised. Now listen to me. Christ promised as our good shepherd who laid down His life for the sheep, as our chief shepherd who sits now at the right hand of God, He promised God Himself that I'll guarantee you that I'll bring every soul you give me all the way to glory. And the Holy Spirit said, I'll cross every one of them's path and I'll bring them the gospel and I'll bring them life and I'll regenerate them. I'll give them a new heart. I'll give them a new mind. I'll give them a new spirit. And I'll make them new creatures in Christ. And you know what our Lord said? All that the Father giveth me, what He said about them. Well, they might come to me. They might come to me if they're convinced. No, they shall come. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Huh? Oh my. Wisdom and love chose the persons that was included in this. That's why we preach the wisdom of God. Oh, the wisdom of God devised a way that He could save sinners and give them life at the same time. That they could be dead in sins and He could give them life at the same time. How can He do that? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Huh? And oh my, not only is it the Lord in purpose, salvation's on purpose. Salvation's on purpose. And I tell you, not only that, but it's the Lord's in His providing. God could purpose something, but how in the world is it going to come to pass? I didn't know nothing about God's purpose when I was 17 years old. I didn't know nothing about God's purpose when I was 20. I didn't know nothing about God's purpose when I was 22. I didn't know anything about it. But you know how I found out? The Lord provided. Well, what did He have to provide? He has to provide salvation itself. And oh, how did He provide it? He sent His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Christ was made a curse for us to redeem us out from under the curse of the law. Huh? God so loved the world. The world of His elect is what I'm going to say. The world of His elect, no matter where they are, what color they are, what nation they are, what language they speak, how prosperous they are, how poor they are, it don't enter into it. No. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him. How do you know you're going to believe on Him? God purposed for you to believe. As many as were ordained to eternal life, what did they do? Believed. He set the price. You know, somebody captures some wealthy, you know, this happens all the time. Somebody that's extremely wealthy, they'll take the child or take a wife or somebody in their family and they'll say, now this is what's going to cost you to get them back. Well, here we are. We were held captive by sin. Held captive by justice. God's law. And the consequences of sin is death. So what did God do? He said, this is the price it's going to cost to set these people free and to give them life. What is it? The blood the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He set the redemption price, and you know what He did? He paid it Himself. No wonder John said, "There's the Lamb of God. What's He here for? Take away our sin. To bear our sin. To be punished in our stead. To bear our wrath. To bear the penalty of our sin." Oh my. And I tell you, He made the price, and then He paid the price. It's like Isaac and Abraham when they went up on the mountain. Oh, He said, "My Father, here we got everything we got. We need to offer a sacrifice, but where in the world's the Lamb?" My son, God will provide Himself a Lamb. And oh, He provided us a Lamb. And you know what? That this Lamb had to be without spot and had to be without blemish. Oh, He was. He was. And not only is it the Lord in His purpose, and the Lord in its providing, He gave the Son. He gave His own Son. He loved us enough that He gave His Son. His only begotten Son, the Son of His love. And it's of the Lord of its applying. He provided it. He purposed it. But how are you and I going to get it? Do we deserve it? Does He owe it to us? Have we been good enough? Have we prayed enough? Have we read enough? Have we attended enough services? No. You know what He has to do? He has to do like He did that infant cast out in the field, laying there polluted in His blood. He passed by, and it was the time of love. And He said unto it, "Live, I say, live." Look over with me in Ezekiel 37. This is what I'm talking about. Ezekiel 37. Oh my. Oh, God purposed it. God provided it. But how in the world are you and I going to get it? Oh, I'll tell you something. The need of mercy doesn't come from nature. It comes from a work of grace. Over in Samuel, it says there, 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says that he took the beggar off the dunghill. The dunghill. And you know what it says? Took him off that dunghill and took him over here and set him among a bunch of princes. Look what it said here. Now this is what I'm talking about. It's of the Lord of His supplying. The hand of the Lord was upon me. And that's what we need. And carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Oh my. And caused me to pass round about them. Walk around them. Walk around and look at them. He said, "Now walk around them. Walk around this valley." And He said, "When I went around that valley, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry." And He said unto me, when He walked around all them bones, oh, as far as you can see, He said, "Son of man, can these bones live? Can they?" Oh my. And I answered and said, "Oh Lord God, You're the only one who knows that. You're the only one who knows if anything can live or not. You're the author of life. You're the giver of life. You're life itself." And He said unto me, "Son of man," He said unto me, "preach unto these bones." Oh my goodness. It's just, can you imagine what He felt like? And He said, "Preach unto these bones." And He said, "Tell them, say, oh dry bones. Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And that's what it takes. How are you going to hear the word of God? How is those dead, dry bones going to hear the word of the Lord? Bones don't hear. Dry bones don't hear. Dead bones don't hear. But when God speaks, that makes all the difference. "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, And that's what he said. This is what God said about you bones. This is what God said about you bones. Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and listen to this, and ye shall live. Huh? You know, when God created Adam, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, what he has to do is come by the Holy Spirit, by the gospel, by the word of God, and breathe into us and give us life. And you know how he does it? Say unto these dry bones, I say unto thee, saith the Lord God, live. Oh my. I do know this. I know this. If he had not sought us, we would have never, ever sought him. Huh? No, we'd have never sought him. He said, there's other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. That'd be one shepherd and one fold. And I tell you what, he's the one that seeks the sheep. He's the one that finds them. He's the one that carries them. You know when we cry out to him? When he calls us. You know when we cry out to him? When he gives us life. They just had a new baby last... Well, their daughter just had a new baby, a son-in-law. And you know what? He was born at home. Dr. Cody delivered it. Fine little boy. But I tell you something. That baby been born. You know when it cried? After it was born. After it had evidence of life. And life was in the womb. And that's what the seed of God does. It puts in the... God puts it in that heart. And that heart germinates. That seed germinates. And when that seed germinates, life. How do you know? You start crying. Oh, Lord, will you have mercy? Lord, here I am. Oh, you old sorry dog. Yes, Lord, I'm a dog. You stink. Yes, Lord, I stink. You're sinful all over. Yes, Lord, I'm sinful all over. You got nothing to offer. Yes, Lord, I know that. But Lord, I'm coming anyway. And I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving till you do something for me. I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay right here. Stay right here. And once we start crying out that, that's exactly where we stay. We never stop crying. Never. Never, never, never. Huh? Oh my, we love him because he first loved us. I found a thing the other day, Kim, going through some things. And the thing, if you wrote way back when you was a young girl, we went up to Indiana for a meeting, and you come back and wrote it, I'm going to bring it to you and give it to you. Talking about how that he first loved us and what a blessing it was to go up there and hear the gospel and fellowship with the Lord's people. And the last thing you said, we love him because he first loved us. Oh my. Well, I got to hurry on. You know, you've heard this so many times, but oh my, it's worth repeating. Old Scott said, you know, the secret to learning anything is repetition, repetition, repetition. Not only the salvation of the Lord of his purpose and providing and applying, but it's also the Lord carrying it on. Thank the Lord for this. Where God works his salvation, there's life. And where there's life, there's growth. Oh, you can't grow without, unless you got life. You can't do it. Oh my. You know, the scripture said, he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. And oh, God, only God, God always, the only thing he can do is a good work. He can't do nothing but a good work. And oh, it's a good work. Do you know why it endures and why it's carried on? Because it's God's work. And it's a good work. And I tell you what, when the Lord carries it on, it's growing in grace. And let me tell you what this carrying it on and growing in grace is all about. It's not growing more holy. Holiness is an absolute state or condition. Either you are or you ain't. That's good vernacular, ain't it? That's good grammar. Either you are or you ain't. Either you is or you're not. But here's the thing about it. The slightest imperfection makes one unholy. And one who is holy cannot be made more holy. And the Scriptures tells us you're complete in Him. Now what in the world you got more than that? You are complete in Him who's the head of all principalities and powers. And in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Everything God's got for us is in the body, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't, people say, well, we, you know, you got to grow and be sanctified. You cannot be more sanctified than being in Christ.
That's right.
You can't be more holy than being in Christ. And all growth is, and I'll tell you something, listen to me. A growth is an awareness of our need of grace. You know how you grow? Do you need grace? Huh? The older you get, the more you need it.
Yeah.
Oh, I need it, Lord. Oh, I need it. Oh, my. One thing for sure, we're aware we need grace. So aware of needing grace. And here's another thing about growing in grace and God carrying it on. It's an assurance that all grace comes from God. All of it comes from God. Oh, we ain't got none. It ain't inherited in us. It don't belong to us. And every bit of grace we have, it comes from God. He's the God of all grace. We didn't deserve it. We didn't desire it. And this grace is in Christ. God gave us grace in Christ before the world ever began. And let me tell you this. This Him carrying it on and this growing in grace where this life is at, it's a growing dependency and confidence in Him, in God, in Christ, for grace for every trial. Oh, we have a confidence and we're assured that God will give us grace for every trial that He gives us. And He'll never put no more on us than we can bear. He'll give us grace for every affliction that He afflicts us with. He gives us grace for every temptation, for every persecution. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." I mean, how sufficient is it? Have you ever been out without it? You ever went through anything without it? Have you ever went through any trial, any burden, any tear, any trouble, any heartache, any sorrow, any burden, any worry, any fear, any fret without the grace of God? Have you ever made it without that? No. And here's what we know, that He's going to give it to us. He is going to give it to us. No matter what's going on, we're going to have the grace for that time, for that hour. So, well, I hope I have a dying grace. Well, you will when you're dying. But you're not dying yet. We know He gives us living grace. Living grace. And we have to live in this old world. And I tell you something, the growth in our willingness and proneness to be gracious to others, because God's shown us grace. And let me give you this. We are sustained in salvation wholly and completely of the Lord. Huh? We are kept through the power of God. A man can sin by his free will, but he can't put his sin away by his free will. Huh? He can fall, but he can't get up by himself. Huh? Let me show you in John chapter 12. Look over here in John chapter 12. You need to see this. You know, it's a wonderful thing. John 17 in verse 12. You know, we can fall, but we can't get up. Oh my. Look what our Master said here now. We are sustained in salvation wholly and completely by the Lord. Look what our Master said here. Now he's praying, and he's praying to his Father. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them's lost. There's only one person that was the son of perdition. That was and that the scripture might be fulfilled. That was Judas he's talking about there. Every virtue we possess, every victory won, every thought of holiness are his and his alone. We must give him all the glory, for he's given us all the grace. The last step we take in this world will be as much by grace as the first one we ever took. Huh? Oh my. You think about this. Somebody, there's a lot of the Lord's people right this minute. They're in their last moments of life. They may be in a coma. They may be unconscious. They may have dementia. They may have Alzheimer's. Well, how in the world are they going to know God when they get there? It's not, that's what we're talking about. The Lord is going to sustain them. And He's going to take them to glory. And that's what's so wonderful about this salvation is holy of the Lord. You know, Rick Garrett's daddy was a preacher. God taught him the gospel. He ended up, if I'm not mistaken, preaching in the home. Is that not right? Preaching in their house. His daddy's a preacher. Now he's got dementia. He don't know nobody, don't know nothing. Well, how in the world is he being held up? He don't know nothing about calling on God for grace. But God knows him. Amen. And God gives him grace even though he don't know it. He gave me grace and I didn't know it. He gave me grace in Christ and I didn't know it. He gave you grace in Christ and you didn't know it. You know when you know you got grace? Is when God gave it to you. Oh, that's why we lift our hearts, lift our hands, lift our souls up to Him. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us through Jesus, His Son. And let me give you this, and then I'm going to quit. I don't know if I will or not. I might ought to back up and back up from that. I might ought to back up a little bit from there. Oh, my. We preach a great salvation from a great and glorious God through His great and glorious Son. Anything else is not worth preaching. Not worth preaching. Let me give you four reasons why believers are and must be saved. First one is, God said they would. God said they would. Huh? He said, you know, you will not come to me that you might have life. But he said this. He said, everyone, no man could come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, what does he do? He comes unto me. He comes unto me. And I tell you, look over here in Isaiah 45. Look, and you know, God said they'd be saved. He promised us salvation. He promised us salvation in Genesis. He promised us a Savior in Genesis. Look what He said here in Isaiah 45. He said here, verse 17, but Israel, see up verse 15, he says, for thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and confounded, all of them. They shall go to confusion together, them that make makers of idols. But Israel, spiritual Israel, God's elect, shall be saved in the Lord. Listen to this. With an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded. Listen to this. World without end. That's a long time, isn't it? Oh my. God said they would. That's why they have to be saved. And here's the second reason. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Huh? Never perish. I give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. And then the third reason is they're in Christ's hands. He said, I give them to eternal life and no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. And then he says this, the fourth thing is that we're in the Father's hands. No man's able to take me out of my Father's hands. No one's ever taken me out of my hands. And I tell you something, beloved, to preach salvation any other way is to rob Christ of His glory, rob Christ of His power, rob Christ of His deity, His Godhead. Huh? To preach salvation any other way is to rob God of His glory. And God said, I will not give my glory to another. I will not do it. And I tell you what, to preach salvation any other way is to rob the saints of their comfort. To take away their comfort. Huh? Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Why, what comfort them? You've received double from your sins. Huh? All of grace. I want you to look with me now. Now go, you know, Malachi is the first book before Matthew. And then right before Malachi is Zechariah. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah is the one right next to it. I want you to look at this. And then I'll close. I may finish this tonight. Look what he said here. Oh my, to preach salvation in the other ways, rob Christ of His power, rob God of His glory, rob the saints of their comfort. And it's all of grace. From the bottom to the top. Every course is put up in the building, all of grace. Planting, rearing, grounding, sovereign grace and grace alone. Look what he said here in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. And that's what you got to always say. Who's talking? This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall, listen to this, and he shall bring forth the headstone. Therefore, thereof with shoutings, crying, what? Grace, grace unto it. Grace is the cornerstone. Grace all the way around. Just put the headstone on this thing. Grace. Y'all believe salvation is by grace? And you know you believe you need it? Not only do we need it, but everybody's ever been shown grace. They want grace. They don't want to live without it. Don't want to live without it. Our Father, the blessed name. Oh, that name, it's above every name. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, bless His name. Bless His holy name. Oh, Lord, who's like unto Thee? Wonders in mercy, great in power, blessed in grace. Oh, thank You, thank You, thank You for such a glorious, free, precious, powerful salvation. Thank You for it. Oh, thank You, thank You, thank You. Blessed be Your name. Oh, bless Your holy name. Praise, praise, praise be unto Thee. Lord, it's in our hearts to just bless You, bless You, bless You. Praise You. Bless these dear saints as they go their way. Bring salvation to that heart that's never felt it, never experienced it. Bring it to them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. 209 in the hymn book. 209. Let's stand together and we'll sing this, and then you'll be at liberty to go. 209. I think that's, is that Marvelous Grace? So that's what we want to sing.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there were the blood of the Lamb was shed. God's grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sinner, despair like the sea waves go, threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whether the snow you may be today, grace, grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
Well, I see.